Your Sunday school lesson today is going to be like that second DVD when you buy the movie. This is bonus material. What I'm going to give you today is an extended application from the sermon that you heard this morning. Extended applications. We thought about this morning, little fly, little things can create a big stink. And the importance of considering that in a spiritual way, how a little bit of folly, and when you see folly there, we're not thinking silliness. This folly or foolishness is in direct contrast to what wisdom is. So a little bit of lack of diligence in the maintenance of the good things that God has given to you. This, even in a small moment, you know, it's a single moment, it's a single word, a lack of carefulness. In that kind of a context, even that can create a big stink. And that's true even if you are one known for wisdom and one known for normal, wise, and godly behavior and godly speaking. It's a warning to us. There, you know, you can really undo a lot of work with a single word, you know, a single thoughtless, careless word or deed that's not being brought under self-control. And so that certainly then speaks to the need of us keeping a lid on it, so to speak, and guarding our hearts, which can run away from us so quickly. And then we went from that to thinking again about the means that God gives us for our growth and for the guarding of our souls. And so for the bonus material this afternoon, I just wanted to give you some encouragements for diligent listening. Okay? Encouragements for diligent listening. I quoted to you from our Confession, chapter 14, paragraph 1, the ministry of the Word and how important that is and how essential it is for us to give ourselves to taking in the preaching of the Word of God. And it's so important to think of that serving not just in our conversion, but in our preservation. Giving ourselves to hearing the Word of God for that. Okay, well, let's begin with the book of Hebrews. We're going to go to a few different places today. There's a place in the book of Hebrews that will serve as our base camp. And let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. And I'm at the end of Hebrews chapter 5, and I'm going to read this paragraph to you because it speaks to this issue of maturity in our listening. It speaks to the problem of lazy listening. And we're tempted to that. And so this is why we're going to spend a little bit this afternoon thinking about this. All right, encouragements for diligent listening, warnings against lazy listening. Hebrews 5 and verse 12 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers," and by that is not meant literally the expectation that everyone in the congregation is functioning as a teacher, but what's meant by that is by this time they should have been displaying teacher-like maturity in their listening, teacher-like maturity in their taking in and holding on to things. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again." And you would say to yourself, "Well, I always need to be taught. I'm never going to move beyond that." But this critique here is that it is said you need someone to teach you again the first principles, that is, the basic issues of the oracles of God or the Word of God. You are in a place of such immaturity that you are having to be taught again basic principles of the Word of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So here they are. Some of them are unable to chew. They're unable to take in meat as they should have been able at that point in their walk with Christ, still drinking only milk. Milk is fine. This is not a criticism of the milk of the word. In this case, referring to the basic things of the gospel. There's nothing wrong with milk and those basic things. But so the problem isn't with the word of God. It's not with basic things. The problem is with some people who have not moved beyond those or having to be taught again those things. This is going to be an issue because the writer is going to talk about Melchizedek and the Melchizedek priesthood. And there are some complicated things about that, and it requires people being able to move beyond the fundamentals of God's word in order to move to thinking about two different priesthoods and what the differences between Levitical and the Melchizedek priesthood and why that's important for us. So no criticism of God's word. It's a criticism of those who have not matured beyond taking in just basic things. And even here, they're having to be taught again basic things. Now, we notice that solid food belongs to those who are of full age. Now, we know that his concern here is not baby food and adult food. His concern is maturity in the faith and being able to take in the solid food of God's word. And they are of full age. That's a reference to this maturity that they're being encouraged to pursue. Now, if you find someone who is, quote, of full age, that is, you find someone who is mature in the word and they're mature in their understanding, you can ask, well, how did they get that way? Well, they weren't born that way. We come into the faith under different kinds of circumstances, yes, but we all come in as babes, and then we begin to grow. And if you find someone who has grown and shows good growth in the doctrines of the word, then we find out here how they got that way, and that is by reason of use. By reason of use, their senses have been exercised and their discernment has grown. So we would use the word practice. Okay? How is it that you have people who have learned to listen to God's word and they've learned to grow in it and they've learned to, while at the same time retaining the basic things, they've also learned to listen for and to take in and to understand some of the more advanced things? Well, they practice that. They've practiced their listening. They've practiced their thinking when the word of God is being preached by reason of use. So, if you need help to grow from a more immature place of listening, and it could even be a case of lazy listening, in this, like we see here, where you ought not to be as mature as you might be in your taking into the Word of God, how can you grow to a condition of a more mature taking into God's Word? Well, by reason of use, by practicing. All right, so these are encouragements to help you practice listening to the Word of God in ways that will be profitable for you and in ways that you can grow and become a more mature listener to the preaching of God's Word. All right, so some encouragements in that. So I'll list out a few of these things for you this afternoon. First of all, you need to have a goal in mind. When you sit down in the pew and you're getting yourself ready, we think especially on a Lord's Day morning, you're getting yourself ready to hear the preaching, you've come with a set of anticipations, right? I hope they're the right anticipations. We bring expectations with us so that we would know, okay, well, that was a good sermon, or that was not a good sermon, or the preacher did what he was supposed to do, or I'm not sure. You know, we have to have a goal in mind. When we're thinking about our anticipations, we have to be thinking, well, am I anticipating the right thing? Am I listening for the right things in God's Word? What am I expecting to hear when I sit down to listen? So, as an encouragement, think about the goal. And one of the ways that I can communicate this to you is from 2 Timothy 3:16, which really is preaching instructions that Paul gives to Timothy. Timothy is that man of God And the man of God doesn't refer to everybody. Paul is using an old term to talk about those who were the officially appointed men, the prophets who would speak for God. That's the man of God. Paul is using this term for Timothy. So it's preaching instructions. He's teaching Timothy how to preach and how to use the Word of God. And if Timothy knows something about the Word of God itself, then Timothy will know how to preach it. But in listening to this, we can see that though it's primarily instructions for preachers, we can see how this is also, we can apply it to those who are listening to these preachers of the Word of God. So if the preacher knows what he's supposed to be doing, if he knows what he's supposed to be proclaiming from the Scriptures, that's what we're about to see, then we as listeners can know what we ought to be anticipating when we come to listen to preaching. What is it that we're on the edge of our seats waiting for these things? If you know what you're listening for, this will help you. Okay? This will help you to know what you're taking in, to think about what you're thinking about as the sermon is being delivered. And so Paul is there in 2 Timothy 3:16. He's talking about the profitability of Scripture. He says to Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All right, it's breathed out by God. And all of Scripture is profitable for, and he lists out four things. So I'm encouraging you to think about these four things when you are listening to preaching. If the preacher's doing his job, he's thinking about these things. And if you as the listener, if you're doing your job, and really we're thinking about it as a job, you're practicing this. You're putting this into use. You're practicing this every time you're listening to a sermon. You're doing this work of anticipating these four things. You're learning to listen for these four things. You're learning to take in these four things as they're being delivered. All right? All Scripture is profitable for doctrine or teaching. All right? You're listening for truth. You're listening for that. You're listening for teaching. You're listening for doctrine. And then the next two things that Paul lists, you can think of them as two sides of a coin. They're different, but they're working together. The next thing that Paul mentions is that Scripture is profitable for reproof. All right? If you were listening this morning, you probably got a strong sense of the reproof of the beginning of Ecclesiastes 10. There's some strong rebuking going on when you think about the fly in the ointment. Well, maybe not so much the fly in the ointment, but when you think about the application that the proverb gives to you, there are strong rebukes against our pride that are in there. So a reproof, you can think about it this way, or a rebuke may come across as sounding negative. A rebuke is telling you what you ought not to believe. A rebuke may be telling you what you ought not, or how you ought not to be using your words, or what you ought not to be doing in your behavior. A rebuke, don't do that. Stop doing that. Don't believe that. A rebuke. And the flip side of that is the next thing that Paul mentions is that all Scripture is profitable for correction. And it may be helpful to think of that more as something that comes more in positive terms. If the rebuke tells you what not to believe, it tells you, take your steps off that path quickly. The correction is the word that tells you the path to put your feet to. All right? What you ought to believe, or how you ought to use your words, things you ought to be doing, things you ought to be believing. So you have doctrine, you have this teaching. Okay, what is true? And then you can see the connection of that to rebuke. All right, take your feet off that path. And then correction, put your feet to that other path. Correction is a rebuke you can think of as tearing something down. You're demolishing something. And the correction is you're setting it back upright, or you're rebuilding it in the right way. And then the fourth thing that Paul mentions is instruction. We could translate that perhaps as training for righteousness. This could speak to proper habits of our talking, proper habits of our behavior. So here's my first encouragement. Exercise your mind regularly in these terms. The preacher has to be thinking about these things in the delivery of the word. The preacher has to be remembering the profitability that God has designed into his word. So the preacher needs to think about doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness. But you as a listener, you need to be taking these things in or remembering these things and remember, okay, here's my goal. Here's what I need to be anticipating today. I need to anticipate doctrine. Now, that's going to require humility on your part. All right, what does God imply? Or what is he implying to us? Why do we need doctrine? Because we are naturally ignorant. All right. So, by reason of use, there's this practice that you're putting yourself to, so that you sit yourself down in the pew, and you're preparing yourself, and you're saying to yourself, Lord, if there's anyone ignorant in this meeting today, I'm going to assume it's me. So teach me. I assume that I am ignorant of a great many things. Give me doctrine from your word today. And so then listen for those things. And then if it's profitable for reproof, again, this requires humility on our part. Lord, if there's anybody here today who needs to be rebuked, I'm going to assume it's me, right? I'm the one. Surely, Lord, there is something that there's some way that this text can provide a reproof. There's something in my thinking I'm sure needs to be torn down. There needs to be some dismantling of things in my soul. Lord, help me to hear it in the sermon. Help me to pick up on that. And then, Lord, I need help. I need my feet put to the right path. I need to be shown the right path. Give me that correction and give me this instruction for righteousness. Now, you may say to yourself, well, that sounds hard. That sounds complicated. That sounds like a lot to think about. Well, it might be hard at the beginning, so practice it. And I think you'll find that it becomes easier the more you do it. All right? How many of you ride motorcycles or have ever ridden a motorcycle competently? Right? Anybody? All right. How many things are you doing at one time on a motorcycle? You're doing at least four things. Because your right hand is what? What are you doing with your right hand? That's your throttle. Right? And your right hand fingers, what are they doing? Is that a front brake? That's the front brake. Throttle and front brake. You're thinking about that. And your left hand is what? Is that rear brake? Clutch. Yeah, you pull the clutch in. Because now we're talking about your left foot. No, your right foot. See, I don't even remember. It's been so long. So you're having to shift gears with your right. Yeah, your right foot is shifting gears. Your left foot is your rear brake. That's it. Left foot is the rear brake. Right foot is you're shifting the gears. You got all these things. Now, the first time you're on a motorcycle, you're thinking, there's all this stuff going on, and so it's all jerky and it's awkward. But with a little bit of practice, your mind begins to cover all of these different things, and it becomes just sort of a natural thing where you're not even consciously thinking about doing all of those things, but they're all happening with a little bit of practice. So don't stop just because it's hard at the beginning, and don't think that, well, I don't doubt whether you are a true believer because you're finding it hard to listen in this way. You practice it, right? We're creatures. We have to grow in these things. We learn to do these things. It takes practice. Okay? A second encouragement that I can give to you today is we certainly can take this from the sermon today, and that is that we need to be humbly mindful of the consequences of lazy listening. We need to be humbly mindful of the consequences of lazy listening. We certainly, hopefully, we shouldn't be thinking to ourselves today, well, just a little bit of lazy listening, well, that, how big of a deal can that be? But we've been warned today not to think like that. All right? We need to be careful of this denial of action and consequence. We need to be sensitive to this. We must not be presumptuous, assuming that we can unrepentantly ignore God's word and still grow in grace. We can't. We should not presume that. All right? Lazy listening will result in immaturity. That's the point here that's being made at the end of Hebrews 5. Okay? They have a responsibility for that immaturity that they're being rebuked for. At this point, they should have been more advanced in their taking in and listening to the word of God, but they're not. And so there's a rebuke coming to them for that. All right? And the correction for them is begin to put to practice good listening and a good taking in. So we need to be humbly mindful of the consequences of lazy listening. Immaturity could be the result of your own choice to not practice the habit of engaging your thinking. There's really much activity on your part as a listener. The preacher's certainly working. He ought to be working. But as the listener, you have to be doing this hard work as well, taking in, knowing what the goal is, knowing these things that you're listening for that are profitable. All right? You've got to be engaged in your thinking. Immaturity could be the result of you putting yourself in a position where you're unable to take in all of the nourishment of God's Word. So you've got to think about all of the surrounding things that you can manage to help you be an attentive listener to God's Word, to help you be able to take in this meaty nourishment. And there's lots of things that could be said there. Lazy listening, you know, it could be you can fall into a habit of lazy listening because you're tired. Physical fatigue may be leading to a lack of diligence in your listening. So that's a good thing to think about. Think about all the possibilities and the circumstances surrounding you when you come in to listen. And there may be some things that you can change to help you be attentive and you know, rightly energetic, ready to hear and take in God's Word. I can't give you a bedtime, right? I'm going to tell you, you have to go to bed at a certain time on a Saturday evening. You've got to manage that, but you need to be attentive to that, right? If you're staying up till 3 o'clock Sunday morning, and then you wonder why it's so hard to listen to preaching on a Sunday morning, well, okay, are you staying up till 3 because you're on? That's when your shift ends. Okay, you're gonna have to do the best you can with that. Are you just staying up because it's time to party, but it's affecting you in your listening Sunday morning? All right, okay, so you think about that. I remember living in a house where we had seven children, and we still have seven children, and they don't all live at the house anymore. They're not all babies, of course, but I remember seven young children, and things can really get harried on a Sunday morning. You know, what do you mean you don't know where your shoes are? Why do you not have shoes? And all of this kind of thing, and we learned the value of doing as much as we could the night before, preparing, laying clothes out, and little practical things like that to try to help Sunday morning go a little bit more smoothly. You can consider that. I can't tell you what to do on that, but a lot of little things can add up together to help you to be more rested, less distracted, and more ready to come in and to hear God's word. But we've got to be mindful of the consequences of lazy listening. We can't think to ourselves, well, I can listen with with half of my attention and it not be that big of a deal. We really need to take it more seriously than that. Think about how big things can have small beginnings, and terrible consequences down the road can have just a small start at the beginning. If we're thinking about consequences, think that spiritual immaturity can leave you vulnerable. Right? It can lead you vulnerable to being misled. It can lead you vulnerable to being misled by false teachers. Right? It can leave you vulnerable to the corruptions that still remain within your own heart, if they're not being rebuked and corrected as that is available to you. That can leave you vulnerable. Think of consequences that are listed or mentioned in the book of Hebrews. In chapter 2, there's this danger of drifting away. That ought to alert you. That ought to waken you up on a Lord's Day morning. If there were people in the past who received the Word of God and it was delivered to them by angels, and they didn't give their heed to that Word, and look what happened to them in the wilderness, then the point is, how much more diligent ought we to be to give our heed to the Word that has been delivered to us, not by angels, and it's not by Moses, and it's not by a burning bush, and all the various other ways, but by the Lord Himself who has come in these last days. What diligence ought we to give? And the point is, lest we drift away. And the drifting away there is a reference to that horrible abandonment of the gospel that we see in the wilderness wandering. That's a consequence, and we need to be encouraged to listen while thinking about the consequences of lazy listening. Come with this anticipation that there is profitability, and think about, if I don't take this in, there can be difficult consequences down the road. Oh, another encouragement that I can give to you today is to encourage practice, I want to encourage you to practice diligent listening, because we must receive the preaching of God's Word as God's Word. And you've heard this a lot. This is just we would consider this a fundamental thing that you've heard a lot. But come and get yourself settled. You're thinking about doctrine and reproof and correction and training or instruction in righteousness. And this preaching that you're about to hear, this is God's Word. I'm going to listen to it as what it really is. I'm going to pay attention to it in a manner that is worthy of the attention that it deserves, being the Word of God. That references 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Paul says, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." Are you listening to the preaching of God's Word as if it is the Word of God? Because it is the Word of God to you. Paul told the Corinthians, he said, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." This treasure, yes, it's in an earthen vessel, but don't let that distract you from what the treasure is. Well, it's just a man preaching. Yes, that's right, but what is he preaching? Is he preaching to you the word of your Savior? Then it is the word of the Savior. Let that be an encouragement to you when you sit and prepare yourself to hear the preaching of God's Word. And you're going to have to work hard at this sometimes, I'm sure, but you're going to have to work hard to not let me be a distraction to you. Right? I have all of my faults, and I have all of my idiosyncrasies. I have my weird way of doing things and my weird way of saying things. I've got my convoluted grammar. There's all kinds of little weird things about me, I'm encouraging you to not let me be a distraction to you, but to give your attention to the Word of God that's being preached. Spurgeon, speaking of preaching, he preached a sermon entitled Heedful Hearing. He preached it on August 23rd, 1868. He said this, "The sermon is God's word to you as far as the preacher speaks in agreement with the Scripture." The sermon is God's word to you, insofar, of course, as the preacher is speaking in agreement with the Scripture. All right? Spurgeon went on to say this. He said, "Not everything that I say or that any minister says is God's word. Hence, you should take heed to separate between what is God's and what is ours. But wherein we speak according to Holy Scripture, it is as much God's word as if God himself spoke." Now, that's a very helpful comment, that's a very helpful thing that Spurgeon says. And this is the attitude that we need to take. All right? This isn't giving any strange praise to the preacher. We're acknowledging that God has chosen to use means to deliver his word. And God uses preachers to do that. Let's look at, if we're still in Hebrews here, we'll go back to Hebrews chapter 4, and we can think about the presentation of this idea in Hebrews. Hebrews 4 says, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them." Who's the them in that verse? The gospel was preached to them. Here's the them. "But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." Are these not the people who were brought out of Egypt? Yes, that is them. How did they hear the word of God? It was through preaching, as Moses preached to them. "But many hardened their hearts," which is equated with not hearing his voice. Did some of them justify themselves and say, "Well, it's only Moses, after all. We're tired of listening to Moses. We're tired of him. We don't want to listen." But who are they not really hearing? They weren't hearing God. They didn't hear God's word. They did not mix their hearing of God's word with faith. And so they did not enter God's rest. This is a lesson for us. So, the encouragement is to receive the preaching of God's word as God's word. Okay, you cannot soothe your soul by saying that if you reject gospel preaching, you're only rejecting the preacher. John Calvin says in his Institutes, this is book 4, 1.5. Calvin says, "Those who think that the authority of the doctrine is impaired by the insignificance of the men who are called to teach, betray their ingratitude." Let me read that to you again. He says, "Those who think that the authority of the doctrine is impaired by the insignificance of the men who are called to teach, betray their ingratitude. For among the many noble endowments with which God has adorned the human race, one of the most remarkable is that he deigns to consecrate the mouths and tongues of men to his service, making his own voice to be heard in them." That's Calvin in his Institutes. Right? He goes on to say, "Wherefore, let us not on our part decline obediently to embrace the doctrine of salvation delivered by his command and mouth, because although the power of God is not confined to external means, he has, however, confined us to his ordinary method of teaching, which method, when fanatics refuse to observe, they entangle themselves in many fatal snares." How may we then entangle ourselves in many fatal snares? By refusing to observe the means or the ordinary methods of teaching that God has ordained that we use. So when we gather to hear the preaching of God's Word, yeah, it's an insignificant man. He has his strange ways of saying things, odd ways of thinking about things sometimes. But, okay, and that's not just true of me. That's going to be true of any preacher who stands before you. They're going to have their little idiosyncrasies, things that could be distracting to you. Put all that aside and give yourself, because you have prepared yourself, yes, and you've learned to practice your thinking this way. Lord, today I need doctrine, because your word is profitable for that. And Lord, help your preacher to deliver the rebuke, for your word is profitable for that. And Lord, help your preacher to deliver the correction, because your word is profitable for that. And the instruction or training in righteousness. Learn to listen for those things and receive it as what it really is. This is the word of God to you. Let me give you a final encouragement today. And that is to practice diligent listening for the sake of your church. For the sake of your church. I've been encouraging you in this, and primarily you're thinking yourself personally, the work that God is doing within your soul, and you ought to be thinking about that. But as you're thinking about your own personal diligence and taking in God's Word, bring this into your consideration, that you're listening not just for yourself, but you're listening for the sake of the people around you. Okay? You remember in the proverb today, the fool, he's foolish when he's walking the path of life. And what does he end up doing? He's probably convinced himself that it won't happen. But what ends up happening? The fool shows everybody that he's a fool. He manifests it. Now, I didn't go into this part in the sermon, but it would have been a very appropriate application or explanation of that. The fool in his way, it's much more than just that other people see that he's a fool, but they're touched by it. They're affected by his foolishness. Okay, so for this encouragement, I'm encouraging you to think about your own diligent listening. You're thinking about it for your own sake and your own growth, but if you would, listen for the sake of your church. Because your growth or lack thereof in taking in and guarding and keeping, you know it's going to break out for good or bad, right? It's going to be manifest. You will be led by your heart. It will incline you to the left or to the right. All right? It touches the neighbors around you. All right? Listen for the sake of your church. And you've heard me say this before, that your personal sanctification is never strictly a personal matter. It does touch on the people around you. From Hebrews chapter 10, you're very familiar with this, but listen to the congregational dynamic of this exhortation. This is Hebrews 10:19. It says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Well, you got you've been taking in doctrine, haven't you? This entering into the holiest, and this blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. There's a lot of taking in and maintenance and guarding of God's Word there, isn't there? Holding fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful, and let us consider one another. All right, so this now, it breaks out into this congregational aspect of our taking in of this doctrine, the reproofs and the correction and the training. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We gather on the Lord's Day, and there needs to be this diligence that covers us, this diligence that is describing our personal listening as we think of the day that is coming. And we do this with this congregational aspect. That's what's going on in a healthy church. That's what's going on in a healthy church. We're all independently thinking about the secret room, which is our heart, soul, mind, and strength that nobody else sees. But we're thinking about the things we're taking in, the things that we're guarding there, not just for our own sakes, but for the sake of my neighbor, how it might be of encouragement to him, and how I need to be careful to maintain and take in, and how I need to be careful and diligent and humble to receive those rebukes. There's things, and to receive those corrections, there are things in my thinking that need to be dismantled. There's things in my talking that I need to be aware of and repent of, lest it break out and I harm my neighbor. And it could be in a single word, right? Anybody been there? It comes out and you're like, oh, I'm like an expert on that. You might listen to my preaching sometime and think, how does he preach on that sin so well? How does he preach on that sin so specifically? It's like he's looking in my window. I'm not looking in your window. I'm just looking in the mirror. I'm an expert on some of these things. That's why I, if it seems to be that I'm speaking with such precision and perception on something that's sinful, well, I don't have to go any further than my bathroom mirror to to know about that. So I say, Lord, help me. Help me to guard good things in my heart, lest it break out in a single moment or break out in a single word, and then much good work gets undone and ruined in a single moment, like a small fly in all of the good ointment. All right, so I'm encouraging you that. Listen for the sake of your church. Listen for the sake of how you may be of encouragement, and how your own growth and sanctification will be of help and encouragement to your neighbors sitting around you here, who themselves are having to work very hard pursuing sanctification. Okay, well, I hope that will be of good encouragement to you today. What a treasure we have when we have God's Word delivered to us. And that's not because sometimes it's me, the one who's delivering it to you. It's because it's God's Word. Whoever is delivering the Word of God to you, this is a treasure because this is God's Word to us. Profitable, and one that we need to handle as a very valuable and precious treasure.